Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C Squared. Then I jumped on the bandwagon. I'm your host, Aaliyah, and this is Heavy Business, a podcast where we talk to music industry professionals and musicians and learn together about the music industry, marketing, and other tools that can help you promote the music you put so much effort into creating. Hello and welcome. This is Heavy Business. I'm Aaliyah.
And I'm Curtis.
And today we have with us the wonderful Carl from Vinter C and Hot Carl Productions. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Carl.
Thanks so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. We're excited to talk. We're going to focus mostly about music videos today. But for those who are listening who may not be familiar with your work, would you kindly give us a brief summary of who you are and what you do in the realms of metal?
Yeah. So my name is Carl Winery. I've been playing metal in bands for like, 20 years or something like that. And then I've been making music videos for probably close to 7 to 8 years now, but I would say the last 5, like really serious. And I also made a Friday the 13th fan film. It's like an hour long. We raised like close to $100,000 on that. It's an awesome movie. It's a fan film, but it's good. And then really into metal and all the fun things that we can do with music videos for metal. So when I get happy music video ideas, I tell people no. Like, sorry, not into it. No severed hands. If that's not appropriate, not interested. Thanks. Pass. Yeah.
You got your niche that you prefer. Yeah, and that's cool.
Exactly.
How did your love of filmmaking start?
Yeah, great question. So I was in a band called Proven for like 10 years, hardcore. We toured Ireland, we toured the US, and I got in the habit of filming with like a little camcorder, and I just make little tour blogs as we went. And that's what got me into video. Then I had a friend who would do like 48-hour film festivals here in Portland. And so I started working with him on that. And those two things kind of kicked off the love for it. And then when we had bands where we had somebody in town that was like, hey, I can do music videos. We hired somebody and it was close to being cool, but it wasn't quite cool. And I was like, oh man, like it just needs that little extra. And what I found was, some people just don't get metal. Most people just don't get it. So if you work with the film school people, they're really good on the story elements, but they fall apart in the band shots. If you work with, people who are in bands, a lot of times it's just kind of like, haphazard. There's just like that next level that you kind of want that I couldn't find when I was working with other people.
Yeah, it's definitely a struggle. And there are so many things, so many factors to that experience of making a music video. What do you think, I know that you've worked with bands other than your own bands now and are expanding your business. What do you see those bands maybe taking for granted about music videos or things they don't realize before going into the process?
Yeah, great question. I feel like there's a couple of different things that lenses you can use for that. One of them is I see the bands that just want to copy something that somebody else has already done. So it's funny when like a monumental video comes out. Vane, for instance, they had a one take music video for a song that was like a minute. And I feel like everybody tried to copy them for a while. When it's just straight copy, I'm not horribly interested because somebody else did it. They're probably going to do it better. But when you have the bands like, oh, we like this, this is the vibe we're going for, but here's our ideas to make it different and make it our own. I'm all in, let's do it. And we're going to crush it. And then you do it. Sometimes the bands forget how hard it is to do this because you can shoot for anywhere from, 4 hours on the short side to like 12. And it's hard. It's worse than the show. Your head hurts afterward from headbanging if you're doing it right. I think some bands aren't necessarily ready. They don't know how to look good on camera. They kind of freeze. So then you have to try to like help get them into it, help get their performance elevated. Most bands crush it, but occasionally some bands, it takes practice to get, good on camera and to like, look like you're having fun while you're doing it too. And then the other part of it is you want all the concepts in the video to help elevate the song. So you need a good song, you need the right like vibe of the video, and then you need it's like either the story or the location, the image piece of it. Like they all need to come together, and if you nail all of them, typically those are the videos that rise above. Those are the ones that kind of stick. Like there was a couple videos like early on. Like one of them was Dead Animals That Made Plants Rise With Me. Brutal video shoot. I think we shot for like 4 days. It was in freezing rain, ice and snow. And that video is still, it still gets referenced like years later. I mean, it was so worth it. It's like the right song, the right locations, the right story, the right look. I mean, it's just everything came together. And, you know, it was a lot of work to make it happen, but it's just, it's still one that people reference all the time.
I have a quick question, a little bit off topic, but kind of not. How do you kind of qualify the people that you're going to work with? Or is it like, if they're willing to pay, you're just going to do it? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, great question. So I try not to be a gatekeeper, but, you know, a lot of times I have to get, at this point, I'm so busy, I have to get excited about the idea. And then, you know, if I get the chance to see him live, that really helps. I'm still trying to figure that out a little bit, because occasionally, you know, you find somebody who might not be ready, but a lot of times working bands aren't quite ready, but they get, as you work through the process with them, they get brought up to the point where everything's good. You know, one thing I do, if I toss out suggestions that are legit and the band fights me on them, they can just fuck right off. You know, I'm just not interested in working with people that are going to be pain in the ass. You know, money's nice when people pay well, it makes everything go better. But also, you know, I'm trying to balance it where I do have a day job. And I try to balance it where I want my friends to succeed. And a lot of the clients are just friends that I haven't made yet if I don't know them already. So, you know, I want them to succeed. And, you know, it takes teamwork to do that. So main thing there.
I guess it would also help that if you're getting good clients, then you're just going to get better clients as time goes on as well, too, right? So,
yeah.
Aaliyah, I'll let you continue before I go on to my next tangent here.
Well, I hate when you frame it like that, Curtis. I'm like, well, what kind of great conversation are we cutting off right here? But if you're willing to say, would you be willing to share, like, what should a band be expecting to invest when they're looking to get to work with a professional for music video like yourself?
Yeah, you can give a range. Yeah, great question. So, if you go look at my website, I think I have like the list price for starting at like $2,000 or something. I have friends that I work with where I'll cut them a deal. If they have a really cool idea, I'll cut them a deal. You know, there's a lot of things that will make me just say, like, let's go do this, fuck the money. And you know, let's make it happen. But if you don't know people, I would say, you know, I would look at, let's say $5,000, but there's a lot of ways to do it a lot cheaper if you know people who are in your area. But, you know, a lot of times there's a base rate for whoever's filming and then an editing rate, and then you have to rent locations. So if you are a band and you want to make it easy, find a cool location, post online and ask. And it's funny, I tell people all the time, I'm like, we're using every location possible in Portland. Reach out and ask your friend network. And people are afraid to post on Facebook and ask. But if you post on Facebook and you ask and say, hey, does anybody have a cool thing that they're aware of? Like, does your great uncle have like an abandoned dairy farm out at the coast that's like 3 hours away and falling apart? Let's go shoot there. You know, does somebody have that weird garage that's filled with TVs? Oh, you do? Oh, it's got like moss grown all over it? Perfect. Let's go shoot there. You know, everybody has something in their friend network if they just put it out there and ask. Sometimes it's like, you know, just a really amazing, creepy looking woods in somebody's backyard at their mom's house. Great, let's go film there. Let's make it look cool. So that sort of stuff can help. So if you line those sorts of things up, then, or if you have friends that are like, want to be actors or actresses and you have a cool storyline, that, you know, the more you develop those things, the easier it makes the project, and then the less you'll have to pay.
I have a quick question. If you covered this and I missed it, I apologize. But oh, so now most of your clients are in Oregon, correct?
Yeah.
So how does it work? Like if a band from out of state wants to work with you?
Either fly or drive down, and then or they fly over here. And we've done that across the board. Like I've flown into Vegas. We filmed at like a dry lake bed. And then driven up to like Spokane, like 6 hours away. I'll have bands fly me down to like LA, or they fly up. You know, what I was trying to do a while back, and I gave up on it because it's too hard. And now that I've toured more, I'm like, yeah, there's no way in hell. But I was trying to do it so if bands came through on tour and they had a day off, I could say like, I've got a spot, let's go film, let's go do something. But you know, I think the last thing they want to do is go play music for 12 more hours one day.
Yeah, so. It's like, well, it's nice to make things efficient, but sometimes it's like too much.
Yeah.
So just to clarify on that, okay, so BAM wants to hire you, they're from out of state, let's say they're from New York or something. And so how does that enter into the pricing structure without getting too complicated, just so people know if they want to reach out to you?
Oh, yeah, great question. So, they'd have to cover like flights and hotels, or a lot of times, like, I don't mind crashing at somebody's house. That's what I've just done in the past. I'm like, I don't need a hotel, I'll just crash on the floor. But a lot of it depends what we have to film, depending on what gear we have to bring or what we have to rent. The nice thing about in town is I have all the gear that we possibly need. If I'm flying somewhere else, I just have to make sure you have the right equipment. And that could be as simple as having a Bluetooth speaker, or you need a PA with in-ear monitors for the drummer so they can hear. Lights, you know, I can fly with cameras. I have like a media pass, so I get discounted rates on luggage from the airlines. But a lot of times it's just, you know, make them pay for flights and lodging, and
seems pretty A to B then.
Yeah.
All right, it's all easy. Cool.
What are some things you wish bands would consider more, or you think they might miss when they're making music videos?
Great question. So it's interesting because every video, every band is different. So some bands focus on the weirdest stuff. They're fussy. And then you have other bands that are just like, I send them the first draft and they're like, that's it. And I'm like, no, that's not it. Give me feedback. What don't you like? And then you start digging in and then you figure out like, oh, okay, somebody liked this shot, but they didn't think they could give feedback. So it all kind of depends. I just hope bands put the time into it and they put the effort and they, you know, I hope they want a good product. And I try to work with everyone to make sure that, you know, when they're giving feedback, that we're not just making changes, so that we're making changes that elevate things. And then, you know, I hope people put the effort into it. So early on, like, I have a Google Doc that outlines expectations for bands. It's like, if you show up wearing black clothes, make sure they're black and not faded, because there's always that one guy in a band that'll show up wearing like a, you know, Korn t-shirt from 96 or something, thinking it's rad. It's like, no, dude, stop. If you're gonna go do that, go get a nice shirt, make sure it's new so it looks crisp. Like, this is your chance to get your image across. So, you know, I just hope bands put the effort into it. You know, if you're paying, especially if you're paying me to do it or somebody else, you know, you really should spend a little time preparing and then putting the effort in to make sure that you help elevate your own product. You know, sometimes I feel like bands are doing it just to check a box, and there's no thought behind it. They're not really thinking about how they want to come across on picture for the first time, you know, and then they don't have a plan to promote it. And I try to like talk bands through that. And some of them do an amazing job at soaking it up. And those are the videos that do really well. And then, you know, you have some where they show up, they don't really put the effort in, they put it out. And I'm like, cool. They go on the list of like, I'm not going to work with you again, because that's a lot of work for me.
So you mentioned doing tour vlogs, I should say.
Yeah.
And the, I can't remember exactly how long ago you released it, but you released a music video for Spawn Awakening that was kind of like, you used a lot of tour footage and then some planned footage as well. So how did you go into that tour knowing you wanted to make a music video from it? Was it kind of impromptu? How did that manifest itself?
Yeah, great question. So what I've been trying to do every tour is film. We pick a song and we say we're going to make like a little tour video for it. And we've done some where you pull up on the side of the road and you film. And then so that way you get like cool locations across various states. And then there's some where you only get a chance to get live shots. But the ideal is a mixture. What I found is that those videos don't do as well as a, you know, traditional music video, but it's still nice to put something out there. It's nice to show people a little bit of behind the scenes. So when we tour, I try to film. And I try to do updates as we go, but we also try to have like pick a song and make a you know, quasi music video for it. To me, it's not like a real music video because it's not super planned out, but it is better than nothing. And it allows people to see another side of us. Like in Vintercy, like, you know, everyone in the band is pretty funny and like super nice. So it's nice to show people like, oh yeah, you know, it's not just like all screamy and stuff. It's, you know, everybody's kind of lovable goofballs.
That's true. I watched some of your interview videos and that's definitely the case.
Yeah.
I thought you did a really good job of unifying all the footage and making it flow really well and like look cohesive. What were some of the secrets behind that? Like, was it color grading or what did you do to unify?
Are we talking about the Spawn Awakening one?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So it was color grading. And then, you know, it's like we use the same camera throughout. And then I kind of have like, just at this point, I've been doing it long enough where I kind of know where I like the exposure to sit to. And then a lot of it's kind of natural, just like how you try to pace things. Like, how do you tell a story where it's somebody getting money rained on them? How does that fit? So it's like, it flows through with everything else. And, you know, it's iterative. I send updates to the band to get feedback. I also, you know, have my own thoughts on it too, as I go. Sometimes like the first version is like, you know, it's like anywhere from 50 to 60, maybe 80% there if I'm lucky on the first version. And then you just kind of refine and refine and refine. So, you know, each video, no matter how small, it can, you know, take a couple weeks of editing. And I say weeks, it's like, you know, 2 hours here, 3 hours there, hour there, something like that.
Yeah. I understand that process. My band, we also done our own music videos. Not me, our guitarist does them.
Yeah.
But I have seen that process secondhand. So yeah, it does take quite a lot of time. And I think maybe people who don't make music videos don't understand how much time goes into editing.
Yeah. And it could be anywhere from like 40 to 120 hours or so, maybe more depending. Like green screen videos take a lot of time. They're super easy to film, but they take a lot of time in post. But you know, the stories with effects or intricate storylines for music videos, those can take quite a while. Like Vinercy's Crack a Light music video, that was
my favorite.
Oh, thanks. That was such a hard video to crack to edit on. We had filmed some footage. We made like a Stranger Things style pool. So it was like a half inch of water, 40 by 40 feet. And we got some epic band shots. We had everybody's like wearing makeup where we look dead compared to our normal live self in the video. Everybody's splashing around in the water. It was so cool. But at the end of the day, it didn't fit. And I spent like 3 months in post-production on that video, I think, between effects and trying to make that stuff work. And then finally it was like, this isn't working. Had to cut it and throw it away. And then it made the video work. And it's like, okay, you know, but I tried probably, I mean, just hours and hours and hours trying to make that work and I couldn't get it. So
that's a good lesson. Like, you got to know when to let things go.
Yeah.
That hurts though. I know what that feels like.
Yeah. And you know, the nice thing on making the movie, like we're always saying like you have to kill your babies. So like, you might have that, like I bought this thing for this and I have the special lens and you do it and it looks super cool. And then you have the whole scene play out and it doesn't work. You can't be precious. You just have to lose things. You got to make that whole thing work, not just that one little piece. And, you know, after doing this for a couple of years, it's pretty easy to just not get attached to things. I try to make it work, you know, give it a good shot 2 or 3 times. And then if it's still not working, it's like gone, just go.
I wanted to just quickly ask just about, so for your own bands, when you're making the videos, how do you keep things smooth? Like if the rest of the band doesn't agree with your vision on something, or is that never a problem?
Oh, it's a problem. It's a problem. It's not like an actual issue. It's just something to work through. So, you know, we do that a lot where it can be, you know, on this new one that's coming out on the 15th at the Gloaming Void, everybody is pretty much on board with that one right away. And then there were some small differences to work through, but we've had other videos where, you know, pretty drastic differences, like the old ones video for Vinercy, somebody had an idea where they wanted a bunch of TVs and somebody tied up in a chair. And to me, I'm like, I've just seen that before. Like, I'm not interested in doing this. And I forget what the theme of that song was, but basically I think it was somebody breaking free from being controlled. So that was the theme. And I see why somebody went with that idea, but it was like, I don't dig it. You don't tell somebody it's stupid typically. That doesn't, you know, win them over to your side. Despite how much I might want to. And then, so a lot of times just thinking, okay, well, what is the idea that they're after? And then trying to say, well, what if we did this? What if we did this? What if we did this? And just trying to work through it. And the other thing is, if your band is used to working with each other, there are times when you have to just say, you know what, I don't like it, but we're just going to move forward. And, you know, in Vinercy, everybody's pretty good at that. There are times when I lose and it's like, okay, now I have to hop on board and support this thing that I wasn't into. And it's, you know, part of being in a band that make things work. Like, you never have enough time, you never have enough money. I mean, if we had an unlimited budget, oh my God, we'd make the coolest stuff. But you know, it's just us. We're all paying out of pocket still. You know, it's just you just have to try to make the machine move as much as smoothly as possible.
Fair enough. And then one just quick follow-up to that. Which one of the videos for your own bands are you most proud of? Only your own bands.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say this new one, At the Gloaming Void, that's coming out. It's not just because it's just coming out. And if we, most people have not seen that yet. So I would say Crack of Light was also number one. I feel like those both had huge amounts of effort from myself, the entire band, friends. You know, Crack of Light in particular, like we had to build a boat. So I built a boat with my brother in the side of my yard, and it's like a 20-foot boat. And we had the whole band come up and help at various points too. And then we had to take it 400 miles out to the desert. So every part of that video was a friggin' ordeal. We had to make our own costumes. We did face paint for the first time. I had to convince people to do that. And there was just hurdle after hurdle. I had to get like crazy film permits and expensive insurance. And then we went out there and we did it, and that part came together. And then we had to build an infinity pool for one of the other scenes. And then we had another time where we had to, you know, film at this cave that had a natural sunlight spot that would come in for 2 hours a day. And so we had to get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, drive out for a couple hours. And we had an actress involved who she hadn't met us before. We were friends online, but not somebody we'd actually like hung out with. And so she was just like, am I going to get murdered when I show up? And thankfully, no, she didn't get murdered. We're nice people. And she was just, you know, amazing to work with. But, you know, that one had so many moving pieces. We built a set for the interior of the boat in my garage and filmed in there, you know, a huge amount of effort. And then At the Gloaming Void, same sort of thing, just 2 days of filming, thankfully, in this case, but, you know, crazy costumes, intricate storyline. Location was, you know, 4 hours away from Portland, building stuff, trying a lot of new stuff for it. It was so much fun and, you know, so much work. But, you know, as you're filming it, you can tell whether the rails are falling off or things are going good. And you're like, okay, that one, like we hit like 95% of what we wanted, only 5% of like the, you know, train going off the tracks. Which is pretty good. You know, sometimes you get there and you get hit with something weird where, you know, everything's cleared and then all of a sudden you have a problem with something that was like pretty key. And you're like, okay, well, how the hell do we work around this? So I'm excited to see what people think of At the Gloaming Void. We're starting to tease some pictures, but it comes out in 2 days. Cannot wait.
It will be out already once this podcast is published. Cool. So everyone go right now, pause the podcast and go check out At the Gloaming Void by Vintersea.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I saw you mention that for this video, you had the biggest crew that you've had so far. Can you tell me what was the smallest crew you've had and that was actually successful?
Yeah, great question. I think that was Befallen. For Vintersea's Befallen, we filmed at a nuclear power plant in Satsop, Washington, and we had the band. And so a lot of times I work with one of my friends, Freddie. He's helped filmed a lot of the Vertice videos. It was the band and Freddie. Normally we have like Riley's wife, Candace, or somebody else like my brother, Josh, or somebody else to come help too. And I work with Freddie and Josh all the time on stuff. And, you know, normally we have at least like two film people outside of me, just because if I'm in the band, I can't film myself. But that one, everybody's sick or it was during the middle of the week. So somebody couldn't get off time off of work, you know, whatever. And we literally had to move our gear up and down 6 or 7 flights of stairs at various different points. I mean, it's a huge property. So anytime you tried to move anything, it was a big deal. And then Jorma, a guitar player, was sick. So he was miserable. He put on when he wasn't filming, just like, oh, please leave me alone. And so it was, he was like a half a person during that shoot. And we just had one action person. It was horrible, but we did it.
Yeah, you made it work.
Yeah.
I think something that might be cool for people who don't know, who haven't filmed a music video yet, to know is like, what are the roles that need to be played behind the camera for like a music video?
Yeah, great question. So if you want to get really, really, we're starting very, very small. You really realistically need a camera person. You could technically put stuff on tripods, but if you're going to do metal or like kind of more aggressive rap or something like that, you really want some camera movement. So we'll just say you need at the minimum a camera person. If you have bigger shoots, or you could have somebody else, it's really nice to have an extra hand to hit play on the music. And that way you can get your shot set up somebody hits play and you don't have to like run over. So if you don't have the extra person, a lot of times the videos, every take starts a little shaky. You know, you're trying to get reset up really fast. So a lot of times it's like a PA, so a production assistant. And so that person could play, they could help people like run them water and take water back. Little things like that can make a big difference. You know, if you start expanding out, it's nice to have something that can handle lights. And also if you have a director that's separate, so you have somebody who's watching everything, camera person can focus on the camera, they're making sure they get a good shot, but the director can look at the shot, how's the band look, how's the lighting look, it can really help make a difference. So when we have with the ability to split roles, like on this new video, like my brother and Freddie filmed 90% of it. And I think I might've filmed like 10 or something like that. I don't know, 10% of it. So it's nice to be able to not have to film and then sit back and watch and just help, you know, and it just, it ends, you end up with a better product and you can split up the roles more.
I was just gonna say for our biggest music video, Wetland, we had a camera person and a lighting guy, and that was it. So, and that, that was still pretty difficult, but it worked well enough.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You mentioned a little bit about reaching out on Facebook, but how do you think that bands can find camera people or help to produce music videos for themselves if they don't have any friends?
Yeah, great question. So I think the best way to do it is if you can find, if the more the bands can handle things themselves, the more self-sufficient they can be. So, you know, if you have somebody in your band who's who can do graphic design, you're just gonna be so much better off than if you have to pay for that every time. And I think the same thing for video. You know, if you can have somebody who starts to specialize in that, I think it's pretty huge. You know, and you really do have to have somebody external from the band too that can help. So, you know, you have to get good yourself. You have to train that person up. But I do think that, you know, if you have, you know, someone in the band who has a camera, and honestly, you could use your cell phone if you know what you're doing. And I say that, it just takes practice. There's a couple settings that you can pick on your cell phone, and you can make your cell phone look good. And then I've seen people who can do wonders with that. But you do need somebody outside of the band who can help. So you need somebody to hold the camera when like you do the full group shots. You know, when you're doing individual shots, you know, you can film most of it yourself for all the other people.
But you still need somebody outside the band if you're gonna do full band shots, which it's nice to have.
Yeah,
you can do all individuals, I suppose.
Yeah, and that works too. But yeah, so if you can start training somebody up in your band, I think that makes things just a lot easier. And then you can develop your own ideas. You start working through things yourself. If you don't think that's an option, one thing that you could do is you can join Facebook groups for like film in your city, and you can kind of meet people that way. Sometimes you might meet photographers who come out and take photos at shows that might be interested in exploring that. You know, and if you just post on Facebook and ask, like, does anybody know anybody local that makes music videos? You know, I see those all the time on Facebook where I get tagged, you know, it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like somebody's looking, and, you know, a friend of a friend is like, oh, hey, like, you know, you got to meet so-and-so. So just put it out in the ether and see what you get back.
The last question, I have one more question about music videos, and then Curtis, if you want to take the reins and
I do
change the topic a little bit. I wanted to just ask if there were any music videos in the last year that you didn't work on that you feel like stood out to you as particularly striking or memorable in a good way.
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah. So I think anything that Rammstein or Behemoth does.
Oh my gosh. They're so good.
Yeah, it just phenomenal. You know, I would say that Crack a Light is my own take on a Behemoth video. You know, and people have spotted that. Yeah. We're like, oh, I see the funny hats and I see this. And it's like, we're not trying to rip them off because they have a very distinctive, slower style. But it's like trying to like take some of that awesome imagery and like, okay, how do we incorporate, how do we try to bring our own flavor to this? Love that stuff. Mastodon typically makes pretty fun music videos. You know, they're not as like serious, but they are fun. You know, plus, you know, great songs help too.
Yes, of course.
Gojira typically does pretty good too.
Yeah, they do. You're right. Yeah. I remember seeing some of theirs recently too. That were really striking.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of bands where I'm like, I just wish they had somebody that was good that could do their music videos. I don't want to slag anybody, but like early Machine Head videos, they had Davidian that was amazing, and then they just suffered for so long, or they were like close to cool. But I think they're getting their stuff together. I love Machine Head.
Yeah. Well, obviously, or you wouldn't care if their music videos aren't good, you know?
Yeah.
It's it's always nice when you can enhance the music video, or sorry, enhance the music experience with the music video. I know people who will not watch a music video until they've listened to the song first because they've had experiences where the music video ruined the song for them. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Ideally, they should both boost each other, right? Like, should be an awesome song, and then you watch the music video and you get more excited about it.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's so unfortunate when that doesn't quite happen. So.
Yeah.
I actually had one last question about videos, and then I guess I only have a couple minutes to go over the last couple things, but lyric videos, thoughts.
Trash.
Okay.
Yep. Skip them.
That's all.
Yeah. I mean, they're a thing for a flash in a pan. If you can't do anything, I guess it's better than nothing, but I think if you go look at the play counts, it's like 300 or something. So unless the song's really good and somebody's putting it on in the background, not worth it. But if you do want them, there's a guy in town. His name is Rafael Ortega. He does amazing. He does amazing work on that. So I have seen when I say trash, it doesn't apply to him. He's the person that I see that keeps putting stuff out that's pretty cool. Where I will actually watch him because he does an amazing job on making them look interesting. It's not just lyrics on a screen. It's the artwork, and you know, they flow really nice. But in general, not a big fan of them.
Yeah, I think it's like it depends on what level it is, right? Like, my band, we did two lyric videos, but they both had footage with them of the band members.
Yours was good.
Oh, yeah. See, that's not really a lyric video then.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a hybrid. Like,
yeah.
Just because you have lyrics on the screen is not like, but what you're talking about, like just having the lyrics on the screen and nothing else going on, that's kind of like bare minimum. That's like, we really need to make some content. So here you go.
Yeah, it's like iMovie type text or something, or, you know. Like, I guess it's, you know, you put something out, but.
Right. So keep in mind, just something to keep in mind for bands.
Watch Aaliyah's video, anybody here, just to get an idea of what is a good lyric video.
Well, I don't know. It's okay. Don't beef it up too
plug,
much.
I have to plug you, Aaliyah.
Yeah, I gotta do it.
Gotta do it.
Take
have
it.
To do it. Have to do it. So my last question, well, I don't think we got too much time, but if you can just go over your upcoming tour. Maybe talk about touring, if there's anything you want to say about touring for bands, if you have anything valuable to say.
Yeah, so
if you do.
So Bittersea's touring, we're joining our first big tour, and it's with Moonspell and Elaine and Oceans of Slumber.
Small band.
So it's May 5th through the 15th. So we start in Texas and we finish Vancouver, BC. So we go further east than we've been so far, but we're still also hitting a lot of our West Coast places. So we get to see a lot of friends again, which is pretty amazing. So this will be our fourth tour, which is pretty awesome. In that we're, you know, every time we've toured, you know, what you hope is your fan base grows and you have a lot of new friends. So like the last tour we did, you know, basically every show felt like we were playing in Portland at that point, where we had so many friends come out. We had a couple friends that came to like three or four shows. So they drive 5 hours or something to come hang for three nights in a row. I'm like, that is, I will never take that for granted. That is super cool. You know, and you know, now that you've seen some of the people like, you know, two, three times and you get to know them more, it's just great. Like it's such a rad feeling. So I can't wait to build that up in every place we go to. Hopefully it'll be nice to get to know some of the people on tour too, like Oceans of Slumber, been a fan of them for a while. We've seen Elaine, a couple of their music videos, and I like them, be very excited to get to know them a little bit more. And then, you know, Moonspell, it's funny, I have a friend down in LA where she has a moonspell@hotmail.com is her email address. So I was like, oh, that's freaking awesome. So I listened to them. Oh, quite a ways back, like years and years ago, and kind of fell out. And then once we thought we might get the tour, I started listening again. I was like, how did I sleep on these guys for a while? Like, it's so good. So I've been really enjoying going through their catalog and scoping it out and getting to know them. You know, tour is always fun. Logistics are insanity right now. Like when we first did our first tour for Bittersea, you were still able to rent vans at a decent price. So we did that. Thankfully, we bought a van. Because, right, you know, once the pandemic hit, everybody bought them. And then, you know, they're trying to do the whole van life thing. So you can't find them, you can't rent them. You know, but the problem with owning a vehicle is it has, you know, they always malfunction. So
we've
We've had to dump a lot of money into it. So we're still getting some of the kinks worked out, like fun things like the AC not working.
Really brutal. Great. Out west in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Oh God. Yeah. Brutal. Like 110 degree weather in California. It's so stupid. Not enjoyable whatsoever. Shows were great, but you know, the travel time was just like, oh, please. Like, just let's get there. And then, so super excited for our tour. Super excited to meet tons of new places, like tons of new people, hit a lot of new venues. Like we're playing a couple of venues that we played before, which is super awesome. Cause you know, now, you know, some of the staff, you're familiar with how the, you know, the flow of that stage and that venue work. We're also going to like the Vancouver, BC, and I have not played shows up there. I was supposed to before. It's a whole separate story about like, you know, trying to get across the border and everything fun. But yeah, very excited for that. And, you know, Bittersea, we drop our new album May 5th. I don't think that's out, but, you know, people
I
know.
Was like, I don't think I saw that.
Privileged information we'll by, here.
Yeah,
that,
so
that news is coming with the video, perhaps.
It is, yeah. So yes.
We just broke
it. I'm safe to say it, yeah. Yeah, so May 5th, the new Bittersea album drops. It's called Woven Into Ashes. And it is, I'm so proud of the album. And I'm super excited that we get to tour on it. It's 8 songs that are just like blistering, except for this one. I shouldn't say blistering. Blistering. I'm such a fan of the songs. I'm so proud of it. You know, and that's not to good. Say that like, yeah, it, but yeah, I've had albums, I've had releases where you're like, cool, I'm like pumped down 4 out of 5. And the other one's like, it's okay. Like, it, you know. But this one, I feel just so excited about every single song. It's neat to be able to treat every single one of them as a potential single too. You know, and whether they're heavy or super catchy, like we have kind of our most melodic song, I think so far, and I think it'll be the 3rd single. You know, it's like no screaming whatsoever. What is this? Who are we?
What?
But it's so
Avian has a beautiful singing voice. So
her performance there was absolutely incredible. I mean, it just, so good. So super, super pumped for that. Everyone in the band just brought their A game to, you know, the whole album, the entire way through. The songwriting is a huge step up. I'm so excited for people to hear like Gloaming, which is the first single. That was the one, we were trying to figure out what do we release first. And there was 2 songs that was kind of came down between. And I was like, no, has to be Gloaming. It's the one. It's got like the just gnarly evil intro, really cool, like Gojira-ish type riff. With like, you know, these orchestrals, like stats going on.
Definitely, yeah.
And then it hits like super pretty and clean, but it's got blast beats. Like it's just got everything. Shreddy solo in there. Like I just love that song so much. So I'm excited to lead the album with that. And then we just start working through everything. It's gonna be fun. And I think there's some, you know, you always wonder like, okay, this song hit big. You don't want to repeat yourself, but I'm like, is there a song that's like this that somebody can grab into? So if they liked Illuminated, which was maybe a little bit less heavy and a little bit more melodic, is there something on a new album that people can get behind? And yeah, there is for sure. So I feel like we got all the bases covered there, but we went heavier. And then we've also, some of the songs are like, or at least one of them is a lot slower and more melodic, but it's still just, you know, Avian just sells it the entire time. I don't think anyone's going to look at us and mean, what are you guys doing? They're just going to be like, oh shit. It's an amazing song.
That's awesome. Curtis, do you have any more?
No, I know we're running out of time, so I know we need to wrap.
Sure.
One last question about the tour. And I do notice like some bands doing these shorter sections of tours. Was that a challenge to find a tour that would let you do that? Or is that something that they wanted you on the tour, so they negotiated it? Or if you're willing to talk about this, if not, we can cut it out.
Yeah, no, it's totally cool. So, you know, one of the struggles right now is everybody works. So it's hard to take an extended amount of time off.
Right, which is a lot of bands. I know my band has that situation. Yeah. A lot of bands have that situation.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the spot you want to be in where you have to like figure out what are we going to do if we want to try to take that next step up. So we told our booking agent and we told our manager that, hey, this is the amount of time that we think we can take off, the max we can take off at once. You know, is there something that we can do around when the new album is going to come out? And thankfully, you know, the Moonspell tour was happy to have us for those dates. You know, I don't know if we could have got more in that case. There were some tours that possibly were a possibility that, you know, they wanted people to do a longer run. This came together so quick. So we were just talking about like limitations and trying to do whatever. And then it was like 2 weeks later, hey, do you guys want to do this? And we're like, oh yeah, yeah, let's like make sure we can get the time off from work. Yes, we're on. So there wasn't a whole lot of struggle there, but I know, you know, our manager and then the booking agent, Continental, they were, you know, trying to be realistic about it, where it's like, you might not be able to do some tours because they want you on the entire chain. So I think it came together quick enough where it wasn't a problem, but definitely could have been.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing a little bit about that and about music videos and what's coming up for Venter C. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Carl. This was great.
Yeah. Thank you, Aaliyah. Thank you, Curtis. Really appreciate you having me on.
Hell yeah. Until next time, everyone listening, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by following or subscribing to us, recommending it to your friends, or leaving us a review on your platform of choice. Thank you for listening to Heavy Business, brought to you by C-Squared Music.